This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Matt McAfee of Goal Boys will join us. We will talk NFL. Week one is just about in the books. We have 49ers Jets to preview. Lions Rams are kicking off now, so skip that game and basically just talk about that game Wednesday if anything noteworthy happens. But big NFL day, it's good to have it back. It reminds you just how ridiculous this league was. I talked about it Thursday night into the Friday show with the Chiefs Rams, where a toenail decides who covers and probably who wins, or possibly who wins that game. And just a reminder, this league is very quick to remind you, you don't know what you think you know. And we saw it right away. Patriots, Bengals. Bengals held to 10 points. Give a shout out to Aaron Schatz, because he was on this summer talking about, hey, Patriots are better than people think. Really good defense. Brissett will manage the game. And Brissett gets it done against Cincinnati. And a 16-10 shocker for the Patriots. Shocker, 7.5, 8-point favorite. But that was one, I'm sure, popular in Survivor, although maybe not as popular as players in Survivor get a little sharper, a little keener that, hey, let's stay away from the obvious pick. Let's stay away from the biggest favorite. Let's go somewhere else. And if we get the big upset, we're in good shape. So Bengals lose. And if you're Cincy, hey, you're probably not going to panic too much. You've had a bunch of rough starts these last couple of years. You figure as long as we get our guys back, as long as Burrow's healthy, Chase is back in the mix, we'll be okay. So I'm sure the Bengals aren't panicking. And if you look around, Browns lost and the Ravens lost. Steelers win, which we'll get to. And I'll get to all these games here, either briefly or a little more details. But if you're Cincy, hey, we had a chance to maybe get a leg up on Baltimore, on Cleveland. We blew that opportunity with a game we, you know, kind of penciled in as a winner, at least other people did. But other than that, I don't know, you panic, but maybe New England's a little better than people think. So something to keep an eye on there as the Bengals go down to New England and had a chance to tie the game. There's a tight end who fumbled going in, and you're like, if you have Cincy and Survivor or teasers, you just know when that fumble occurs. Uh-oh, here it goes. Here we go. And Patriots never really was in doubt. Once Patriots took a 10-0 lead to the half, they pretty much cruised to a victory here. Our buddy Ian Eagle on that game. Cardinals, Bills. Bills win 34-28. That lands right around the number, depending on when and where you bet it. Bills were down big early, rallied back, actually had an 11-point lead. Arizona got a touchdown and I think a 2-point conversion on a kickoff return. And boy, that kickoff is weird. I tried to give it some time watching the preseason. It's just weird optically. I wish they'd just go back to the old way of doing it, just have a normal kickoff. It's an odd setup. It's just a very strange setup for these kickoffs. But Arizona is going to be good on offense, bad on defense. I think they kind of are who we thought they were. As the Bills rally back and win that game, that would have been a bad loss for Buffalo. Vikings buried the Giants. Darnold looked tremendous in this game. Efficient. He had one interception, but it was his arm got hit and the ball got tipped. He looked good. The offense looked good. That was one of my picks and kind of went how I thought it was going to go. Jones against the Flores defense. He looked awful. Giants defense looked bad. Giants, again, this week one, not going to overreact, but not going to just sit here and not react. Giants look like they have a very, very bad football team, and they, I think, would be in the mix here for the number one pick. Certainly looking like another top five pick. Is Darnold look tremendous. Vikings have a tough schedule, but hey, with that talent, if you can get like 75-80% of what we ever thought Darnold was going to be coming out of college, or hoped he could be coming out of college, with that roster, eventually get Hockenson back. Aaron Jones is an underrated player. Jefferson, you know, that's a good team, good offensive line. Got some players on defense. They've got holes in the secondary, but that's a good Vikings team, good Vikings roster. We'll see if they can compete here in the NFC. Titans, Bears. Bears win 24-17 and cover. If you had the Titans plus the 4, plus 4.5, I'm very sorry. The Bears absolutely stole this game and stole this cover. The Bears had 2.2 yards per play on offense. They did nothing on offense here, the Bears. And if you look at the stats, if you had Tennessee again, you just scratch your head. 148 yards of total offense for the Bears. And if you look at how the Bears scored, blocked punt for a touchdown, a fumble recovery where they have a exciting 4-play, 1-yard drive, and then they get a pick six later on to go up 24-17. And they get the 2-point conversion. Just nothing on offense. Titans were up 17-0, catching 4 and don't cover with the Bears doing nothing on offense. I mean, that's just one. If you have the Titans, again, it's the NFL and you just scratch your head and you say, hey, hopefully these even out in the long haul. I know it never feels like that. If you have the Titans, you don't feel like these even out, but my goodness, that's about as tough as it gets. Saints, Panthers. Saints absolutely bury the Panthers. It looks like, that was a team some sharp people on. Hey, they'll be better, Canales, and maybe they will be, but that looked rough. That was 30-0 before you can blink as the Saints. Maybe the Saints will be a little bit better than people think. The Saints absolutely just demolished Carolina. Carolina's another one of these teams. Unless there's market improvement from what you saw today or last year, that it's another team that's going to be in the mix here for a top five pick, if not higher. Steelers, Falcons, Fields plays. Wilson had a calf injury. I think they have to stick with Fields. I don't know if they will. And it wasn't pretty. They didn't get in the end zone. And I'll get to Cousins here in a minute. Six field goals for Pittsburgh. It kind of worked because the defense played really well. And if you're Pittsburgh, it's almost like a service academy offense where you're not throwing the ball. You're just either handing the ball off or keeping it with Fields. It's almost like an option offense, and you just run the clock, rely on your defense, get into field goal range, and be tough to score against. So, I was down on Pittsburgh. I had the under in this game, and they're certainly going to be an under team. I think that would be something to keep an eye on. They didn't do a ton on offense, but they didn't need to. Defense looked really good. Typical Steelers win, and who knows? Maybe they will find their way to 9 wins and prove everybody wrong, everyone that doubted them. Good win for Pittsburgh on the road here. And look, a Denver team on the road next week, they get with a chance to go 2-0. Pittsburgh does. By the way, as a Vikings fan, I experienced this. Anyone that brings in Kirk Cousins thinking, and this is very similar to the Minnesota situation, not completely similar, but similar in terms of, hey, all we need is Cousins to be a little bit better than what we had last year. He's our missing piece. Good luck with that. Cousins was awful in this game. Bad under pressure, bad interceptions. They were lucky to get the ball back. They were down 5. They got a 4th down stop. Hey, down 5. Decent enough field position. Hey, let's move the ball. We have all these weapons. Get a touchdown and win the game. He threw an awful pick. I understand he was under pressure, but that's the other thing. He can't escape pressure. And now at his age, coming off that Achilles injury, you wonder if he can ever escape pressure. And he was bad. And again, it's only one game, but I would have major concerns. Anytime you think Kirk Cousins is the answer, you're asking the wrong question. And wouldn't be shocked if we saw Penix at some point. Not soon. They'll give him a month or so, but again, Cousins has just always, always found a way to underwhelm. And you will look at what Cousins did today in Atlanta, and you watch Minnesota without Cousins. And to me, Cousins has always been completely overrated. I know he's a polarizing player. He's not a bad player, but to me, he has always been an overrated player. I was, as a Vikings fan, I was excited when they got him 6 years ago. And very quickly, I said, oh, this is why Washington didn't want him. He is a little bit of a tease. He's not as good as his stats say, and he was awful in this game against Pittsburgh. Dolphins, Jags. Dolphins win 20-17. Dolphins win, but they don't cover 3.5, 4. Very strange incident with Tyreek Hill getting arrested before the game or detained before the game. But I'll leave that alone. Dolphins, and here was the key to the game. Jacksonville's up 14-0. Jacksonville's up 17-7. They go on a 94-yard drive, and they're about to go up 24-7. ATN fumbles at the 3-yard line going in. Ball not only gets recovered by Miami, but gets recovered in the end zone where you get a touchback end of the third quarter. Next play, 80-yard play for Miami. Touchdown at 17-14. And if you're the Jags, you know at that point, we know where this is headed. Miami eventually ties it, gets it back. Lawrence can't do anything late in the game. Miami gets into field goal range. Sanders makes it a long kick and a terrible loss for the Jags. Good win for Miami. Just an awful loss. Jacksonville just gave the game away with that fumble. And that's one where you're kicking yourself with a tough schedule coming up for the Jags. That's one you had to have, not had to have, but man, you did have it. And to just give it away like that, it's a tough one. Texans, Colts, Texans win. They don't cover. This lands on 2. Good game. Honestly, I didn't watch a ton of this game. Stroud was pretty good from what I watched. Richardson made some plays, a little shaky from what I watched, but I think he got the full Richardson experience where he's going to make some plays, but he's going to be inconsistent and kind of driving nuts. So Texans win there, 29-27, and that's 2.5, 3. Colts cover pretty much all numbers despite not winning the game. And I think that is pretty much all of the early games. And, you know, it's funny, if it weren't for betting, kind of a ho-hum day, because the games, even the games that were competitive, were just not overly well played. As we move here to the late games, Raiders, Chargers. Chargers win 22-10. Chargers cover. Antonio Pierce, and look, by the time you listen to this, you're going to hear this 100 other places. This is not this is not groundbreaking stuff, what I'm about to say. I'll set up the scenario. Raiders are down 6, 7 minutes to go, 7:15 to go. down six on the Chargers 41, fourth and one, and the punt team comes out. And I think no way he's punting. He's got to be doing a fake, although why would you fake on fourth and one? You probably just go for it. He probably is going to punt. He punts for some godforsaken reason. I'd love to hear what he said in the post game. There's no explanation good enough. Hopefully he just said, hey, it was a mistake. It was stupid. I don't know. These coaches usually aren't wired that way, but that was just as bad as it gets. You can't be that stupid to punt the ball in that situation. To me, the Raiders are complete. Either you bet against them or you don't bet them. If you're going to punt in that situation, if you don't know to go for it there, what else don't you know? Oh my goodness. And fittingly, the Chargers get the ball back. They go 90 something yards, touchdown, game over, 22-10. About as bad a decision. We saw some strange decisions in these late games because Commanders, Bucks, not much to talk about. Bucks led wire to wire. Commanders were never in the game. Commanders are down 16, get a touchdown to cut it to 10, I think late third quarter. Instead of going for two, which, hey, you want to make it a one-possession game, one and a half-possession game because the 2 points 50-50, but you get the idea. He kicks an extra point to make it nine. And at the same point, right around the same time, and again, not much else to add there, Daniels was decent. He ran around a little. Their defense was horrible. Washington and Tampa was in control the whole way. Commander kicker stinks too. York, I can't believe that guy made a team. I remember him, you know, from past years. He is awful, and he cost them some points. They weren't going to win the game anyway, but at least made the cover more competitive if you were Washington, if he could have made some kicks. Seattle was up six, score a touchdown to go up 13, or to go up 12, and you figure, all right, go for two, so you're up the full 14. They don't do it. They kick the extra point and go up 13, so some strange decisions. Nothing as strange as the Antonio Pierce decision. And again, unless you were, if you weren't betting, look, it's great to have it back. It's awesome just sitting here and watching all these games. And I really think not having a preseason cuts into the just level of play. I mean, this is in a lot of ways is the first week of preseason where these teams are just not that effective. Oh, I forgot one game too. And Cowboys demolished the Browns 33-17. It wasn't that close. It really wasn't as a, boy, Watson was awful in the game. For everyone that just penciled Philly in to win the division, Dallas had a bad offseason and just act like Dallas. And that's one thing I disagreed with. I still, you know, said on, I think on this show, other shows, hey, I probably would pick Philly to win the division. But this idea that Dallas is no good anymore, to me, was completely overblown. 3 years in a row, they won 12 games. And all right, they signed Ezekiel Elliott. You didn't love that. And there's contract disputes. Maybe they didn't do this in the offseason that you want them to do, or do that in the offseason that you want them to do. It's still a really good regular season team. I think people are soured on the fact that they've been shaky in the playoffs. This is still, Dak's a good player. He's not a great player. He's a polarizing player to an extent, but this is still a really good Dallas team. And my goodness, if you're Cleveland, and we'll talk with Matt McAfee, who's a Browns fan coming up. I don't know what you do because you owe this guy a ton of money. He went the 800-900 days without playing. He's just not the same player. Now he's actually 5-1 last year, which is hard to believe. But you owe him a fortune. It's all guaranteed. I don't know how you get out of this mess. I'm sure you give him a little while to hopefully get on track. I don't know if eventually you turn it over to Jameis Winston, but this is an absolute abject disaster. The worst trade in football in NFL history. And I don't think that's an exaggeration. I can't think of another trade worse in sports where you gave up all these picks and you guaranteed all this money and the guy can't play. So good win for Dallas. All these AFC North teams besides Pittsburgh losing kind of cancels out. And maybe if you're Pittsburgh, hey, we can work our voodoo magic and get to 10 wins and maybe steal a division. I don't think so, but you know what? That looked eerily similar. That Steeler win looked eerily similar to all the games they won last year and the past few years where they just eke out these ugly wins. So who knows? Maybe it's possible. So Jets, 49ers tomorrow, on Monday, I should say. I will take the Jets here plus the points. Talked about this a little bit on Friday, I believe. I'm just going to put my money where my mouth is. This is a team that won seven games with no quarterback play. They are loaded on both sides of the ball. 49ers, a little turmoil with you know, the offseason stuff, and Ayuk and Pierce all get shot. So who knows what frame of mind they're in. And I just think, you know, I'll take the this is bounced around 3, 3.5, 4, 4.5. I thought when Trent Williams, the offensive lineman for the 49ers, signed, he got his contract situation sorted out. Maybe it would move towards like the 5, 6, which are dead numbers, but hasn't been the case. Jets plus 3.5. That will be my play. Picks were pretty good this weekend. Hopefully we'll keep it going. And we will talk about all of these games and more with Matt McAfee. That is next. This is the Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More podcast. And he is back. You can catch him at Go Boys. It is Matt McAfee. Matt, we are taping this as Rams line's about to kick off. Happy football. What was your biggest takeaway of the game? And how's it going?
Oh, man, good to be locked into the couch for a whole slate. Good to see Hansen again. Games were pretty good. We had some good surprises. Your Vikings looked good. I thought the game plan was great. They protected Darnold pretty well. I thought the Patriots, obviously, great game plan. Burrow's slow starts continue. So pretty serious trend here. Feel sorry for all the, what, a third of Survivor contest entrants were on Cincinnati. And
is that what it was?
Yeah, I think I saw it was at least a third. So that, you know, crashed out. Wow. My Browns, we got whooped up and down the field about as bad as it could possibly be by the Cowboys. So, but no, I'm well. I learned a lot, hit a few bets, and ready to get going again tonight and tomorrow.
What, anything you saw, and by the way, I meant to mention this in my open, the rookie quarterbacks in general were just bad. I don't think I mentioned that where, boy, Knicks, you look at the final stats and all right, they put up some points, but a lot of it was running. It was the weird two safeties in the first half. He wasn't good. Caleb Williams wasn't good. Daniels, again, he similar to Knicks, a little better, but did stuff with his legs. Didn't do much throwing, but anything you saw today, and it's almost like it's been a continuation of the preseason or it is the preseason because we don't have these guys playing that much, you know, in the summer getting ready. Anything you saw today, though, that you think is not real, that you think is not going to carry over necessarily the rest of the season?
You know, that's a great question. I think that the Dolphins' struggles on offense are might be you could chalk that up to the Tyreek drama before the kickoff of the game. I was really surprised at how bad they were struggling to move the ball. I do think they'll get right, and we'll eventually see them, you know, have those 7-8 touchdown games. The Falcons look pretty bad. I was surprised about that offense. I would think that Kirk Cousins would, with all those weapons, would get going. Yeah. So, you know, the young guys, your Richardson, and you mentioned Daniels, you know, they had good games with their legs. I think that's a trend that will continue. You know, I still look at this as Richardson's rookie year, only playing, you know, 5 or 6 games before he got hurt. The athleticism is there. It's very impressive. And if you're not going to be able to stand in the pocket and deliver the ball, it's great to have that plan B to take off and run and make some plays. I feel sort of bad for any remaining Panthers fans because they got a short guy who doesn't have the athleticism of like a Kyler Murray who can't create with his legs. And yeah, it's looking pretty bad for Bryce Young down there.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Dolphins game. At least if you bet the Jags, at least if you took the points, you cover, because that was one. I don't know how much of you saw, or if you saw the sequence. I talked about it a minute ago. Jags were up 17-7, had a 94-yard drive, and were about to go in the end zone to go up 24-7. ATN fumbles, and not only fumbles, but fumbles in the end zone where, you know, it's one thing if you fumble on the one, all right, bad field position, you usually get the ball back in that spot. Fumbles in the end zone, touchback, next play, 80-yard touchdown. And if you're the Jags, you just know at that point, if you bet the Jags, this is not going the way, you know, this is not going to end well for me. So that was a tough, tough loss for Jacksonville.
Yeah, that's one where if you're playing Madden, the controller gets tossed across the room. You're like, this game is cheating, you know. But I mean, it's in the game, right? So it's sloppy, like you said. It felt like preseason. A lot of these games, just poor execution, not a lot of good long drives. So it should be onward and upward from here. I would think.
For those who are, and most people are listening to this, you can catch some of it on YouTube. You are wearing your Browns jersey. You're a Browns fan. I'll give you the floor. How dejected are you? How much of this? I know Watson's going to be the lightning rod because you know, that contract, that trade, it's been a while since he's played good football. We were talking before we came on the air, and you thought, hey, the tackles were banged up, which I didn't even know, man. Mm-hmm. It seems like their tackles are always hurt, but I'll give you the floor. Take it whatever direction you want to go.
Yeah. You know, if you're on social media, Watson's obviously not a great guy. He's easy to root against. So he's one of those players that is easy, you know, it's an easy punch on social media to drag him. But I gotta lay this defeat on Stefanski. I thought his game plan with having no Conklin, no Wills, you know, they both practiced this week, but they're not ready. That's your starting right tackle, starting left tackle. His game plan needed to be to protect Watson, run the ball more. He put him out there like nothing was wrong. Personnel was full. You don't have Chubb, so they don't really respect the run, and they won't for another month. So hopefully, I thought the second half, although the game was a bit over, Stefanski did make some good adjustments. I hope Njoku's okay. He had to leave the game early. A lot of bad drops. Njoku had one of them. We saw Cooper drop a touchdown pass. I mean, you can't have it. Special teams give up a punt return for a touchdown. It just one of those games where you hope all the mistakes just got out of their system in one go. Because, yeah, it was not a lot to cheer for. But I do think that Watson had a tough go of it. I think he gets a little too much criticism, considering how much pressure he was on. I saw calls for Flacco, calls for Jameis. Like, I mean, those guys are immobile. Our line was providing no help at all. So I'm not sure how much success those guys could have had behind that line today. Parsons was on one, showing why he's an all-pro. He totally wrecked the game plan. And it took a whole half before Stefanski made any adjustments. So the only good thing I would say is the Ravens lost and the Bengals also look bad. So how about the first place Pittsburgh Steelers? Like, they're in the AFC North.
I've hung my hat on two things. First of all, the Jets being really good, which is not, I guess, as I hear more and more opinions, is not that contrarian, and it shouldn't be. I mean, they have Rodgers and they have a good team, but the other one has been just so anti-Steelers. I thought they had a chance to be, you know, in the mix for worst pick in the draft. I just didn't think they could score. And I was actually, I'm not a Fields fan, but man, Fields at least gives them some running dimension, where Wilson, if you had a shaky offensive line, I thought would have made him more one dimensional. So maybe they'll pull off their voodoo magic. The defense certainly looked good. So we'll see. I'm still a ways away from that. It'll be interesting to see what they do at quarterback. But yeah, that was just a typical, you know, last 4 or 5 years, Tomlin, ugly, don't score a touchdown, but you play good defense, you kick some field goals, and you find a way to win.
Yep. There's a reason why he's not won a Super Bowl, but there is a reason why he wins. It's one of those things that's so frustrating. If you're
hasn't
a Steelers
won one since 08. He won one his first
right.
year. Hasn't won one
since right, 08. Exactly. Yeah, in so long. I mean, if I said never, that was my bad. But I get the frustration because his talent has been great, but he's so conservative. And when he had great talent, the conservative nature costs him games. And it will win a lot of regular season games, but it's just – it's not good enough to beat the elite teams. You can't be that conservative when you're playing like a Patrick Mahomes or a Tom Brady when he was at the Patriots. Like, and I think that, I don't know. I would never line up to fade the Steelers in the regular season because they just don't beat themselves. But in the playoffs, they become a pretty easy fade.
Yeah, I just thought, like, especially last year, 5-1 in the division, but you didn't see Burrow. You saw Browning twice. You didn't see Lamar the last game. You saw Dorian Thompson-Robinson. I don't know, but who knows? And look, as a Viking fan, I talked about this before. As a Viking fan, I can think back to 6 years ago when the Vikings got him coming off an NFC title game. All right, he's the missing piece. He's the upgrade we need. That might be over again. 1 week, overreaction, but he's an older player coming off a kill. He can't move to begin with. And I've never been a believer in Cousins. But back to the Cowboys, because I think, you know, I'm curious what you think about this. Did people just dismiss them? People, if you listen to all these picks, man, Philly, Philly, good draft, Barkley, which I pretty much agree with. But man, this is still a Dallas team that won 12 games 3 years in a row. I feel like Dallas is being kicked to the curb a little too quickly this offseason.
Yeah, I think because McCarthy was in, he's obviously in a win a Super Bowl or your job is gone kind of situation.
Maybe Jerry's like surprisingly conservative. He just wants a puppet. He wants if that were the case, they would have got rid of him last year. So I know what you mean, but I'm not sure.
I think having that, and obviously to me, it was a brilliant marketing strategy from Jerry. I got asked today, you know, what did he gain from, you know, waiting till the very end to pay CD, pay Dak, and just cave at the end. It's like, the guy's a great businessman, and he kept his team on the tips of the tongues of every talking head all over all the networks and everything. When are the Cowboys going to sign Dak? When are they going to sign CD? You got to do that. And sure enough, here it is. Boom, signs him. Keeps him relevant. It was brilliant. Now, in terms of personnel, I do think, you know, bringing Zimmer in, it obviously looked good. And one game sample size here against an offense that was kind of struggling. We'll see what happens. But yeah, the Cowboys, I just think that there's the impression that they're going to lose in the playoffs no matter what. There's like an inevitability. And I think people are just excited to get out ahead of it, to just bury them now. And I think their talent is good enough that they'll be in games. But yeah, I do think that they lost a few guys along the offensive line, you know, starting two rookies is tough, but I think they still end up with 10 wins and be a playoff team.
Yep, for sure. And, you know, you bring up such a good point about Dak and all these talking heads. That is the worst content ever. And people could talk about that on all these shows. I never listen, because as soon as I see that being talked about, and look at some of the shows I'm on, you know, I might be guilty of it, and I don't always control the content on some of those shows. IU contract, Chase contract, that it's August, it's July. There's nothing to talk about. People of football. I can't take it. For the most part, these guys end up on the field. Reddick with the Jets, different situation. But 99% of these times, these guys have been on the field. Whether they make $260 million guaranteed or 230 or 280, I don't care. To me, it's just horrible, horrible content.
Yeah, they're just taking, you know, unpaid PTO, like, I mean, or unpaid PTO, that's an oxymoron, but yeah, they're taking unpaid time off. So, yeah, save their bodies. A lot of these guys don't need a training camp to get in shape. They've got nutritionists and, you know, personal assistants that keep them just in game shape year round, and they know the playbooks, and they can get in there pretty quick. Now, game speed is tough. Obviously, you saw like a Jamar Chase not have his normal outstanding kind of game with a late holdout. But I do think that there is some element to that of, hey, we're going to hang out. We're going to save the body. We're not going to risk getting hurt in training camp. But yeah, to your greater point about like the discussions of contracts over the course of the summer, it's I hope we finally reached the point, though, where we can't we're tired of the LeBron and MJ debate. Like, because you pull that one out in July every year, too. Like, that's another one. You're just like, oh, my gosh, like, just can't do it again. But yeah, now it's good to actually have real games back. So we have real stuff to talk about.
We have a real game on Monday night. Jets Niners, a fantastic game. Hopefully, look, for just for the sake of like football and a fan, you want, and there's not enough good quarterbacks to go around. I want to see Rodgers healthy with a chance. And I just want to see what it looks like with that team around him. That being said, 3.5, 43.5, this line is bounced around. Any feel for this game, side, total props, whatever direction you want to go?
Yeah, I mean, so if we're just talking side and total right now, and I might get my sharp card taken for this, but I think a 7-point teaser, you tease the Jets up to 10.5. And you tease the total up as well and play that under in a game with two really good defenses. And we've seen here in week one where the defenses are a little bit ahead of the offenses. I think that that gives you a really nice cushion to cash that bet. I think the Jets will be good, like you said. It's not a big secret. I think Rodgers being back is huge. And it does lean into a couple of the props that I want to go for are mostly on the Jets side, but if you're not into the player prop market, you can get a 7-point teaser at about -132. And like I said, Jets up, total up, and play the under on the total. I think that ticket does get home. Player prop wise, I think Mike Williams, for the couple games he's healthy, he's going to look good here until inevitably he gets hurt. But his line is pretty low. It's only 28.5. And I think that Ward will be on Wilson. And so Mike Williams can cash a 28.5 in one play. Rodgers, his arm is probably, you know, still top five in the league. Best thrower of the ball I've ever seen. And I do think he will take a chance to try to test the secondary of the 49ers here. And Mike Williams, even if he has two or three catches, I think he clears this line if he doesn't connect on a long one. So yeah, 28.5 yards. I do have that in the account. I do think that Breece Hall, another guy that they're going to look to get a ton of, I think his rushing line is 15.5, but I like his reception line over 3.5. It's a little juicy. I think it's like -140, -150. But I think he's going to be a Christian McCaffrey level contributor to this offense where he's a three down back and there's not many of them anymore in the league. So those two player props I liked. One on the Niners side, Debo Samuel, 9.5 rushing yards. I think you can get that for about -140. Again, all of these you could take an alt line if you're not comfortable taking that much juice and, you know, bump it up 2 or 3 yards to get it closer to plus money. I don't ever hate that. But 9.5 rushing yards, Debo's going to get at least 2 carries. Sometimes he gets as many as 3. And he's so quick. He's so physical. He's 100% healthy here. This is the time you want to take a Debo Samuel big game where he's not banged up. He's not carrying anything. Ayuk is back but he's got Sauce Gardner, probably the worst matchup in the league for an outside wide receiver. So I think Debo in the slot, they'll manufacture other things, you know, ways to get him the ball. McCaffrey obviously will be a huge, you know, player, a huge part of the offense, but Debo always gets touches, 2 to 3 rushes every game. And I like a low line there of 9.5 rushing yards.
Anything first touchdown score, and you can, I mean, boy, how bad have they made these lines? I don't know if you've noticed the same thing. We've talked about this 2 years ago. We were doing the shows. We're like, man, they're not as good as they used to be, and they're getting worse. I don't know if you agree, but first touchdown score, just thought exercise. People want to bet it. They want to bet a little sure. lot. They want the instant gratification. So we'll roll with it. McCaffrey +360, Hall 7-1, Debo 8-1, Kittle 850, Ayuk 9-1, Garrett Wilson 10-1. You can ask me about any other guy you have in mind. Do you agree? First of all, do you agree that these markets have been juiced to the heavens where it's hard to bet them? And that being said, who do you like?
Yeah, I do agree. Yes, that the value has gotten worse and worse. And it was also something that you could take advantage of a lot of promotions. I will say that there was 4 or 5 books that were running promotions for first, like a risk-free right. or a no-sweat type of promotion. Obviously, the limits weren't high, 10, 20, 30 bucks, something like that. But you could make a bet on one of these and play a longer shot and have a little more fun with it. Now, those promos have even – they're all dried up. Obviously, they're not going anywhere. I do think in this market, I want to attack with the Jets here, just thinking that the Niners would, as a home team, probably defer. I think with Rodgers out there, they would want to get him on the field right away, you know, prove that he's back. And I do like Mike Williams. I mentioned I do like his receiving yards prop. I saw him as high as 16-1 for the first touchdown. A hard play action to Breece Hall, maybe test Mike Williams deep, like see if you can catch him cold. I don't hate that. Garrett Wilson, again, I think he draws Ward, which is a harder matchup, and I don't really like the value. Breece Hall, if you're getting 6-7-1, a guy who can rush or catch it is good. And then you mentioned Kittle. I do like Kittle a lot. I think if the Jets defense does have a bit of weakness, it might be in the middle of the field there. And so Kittle potentially could take advantage of that. I wouldn't play McCaffrey at his price, although obviously it is always a strong look. But at 360, I don't think it's worth playing the first TD. I would rather just play like a first half TD and get like +150 instead of, you know, -175 or whatever it is for the full game. But yeah, that's where I would go. I think Mike Williams, 16-1. You can right. pencil me in.
Last one before we get you out of here, and I didn't prep you for this, and I probably should have talked about this in my open. I was a little sloppy on my open. I should have been more organized and snuck in these weeks.
It's one. Week one, man.
It's training camp for me,
they,
too. That's right.
They took away one of our preseason games. It's all right, Will.
Week two lines. Dolphins. I'll just go over some of the key games. Dolphins laying a point and a half at home to Buffalo. That's a Thursday night game. That's a hell of a Thursday night game. Minnesota getting 6 at home against the 49ers. Lions -6.5 against the Bucks. Chiefs. Bengals on the verge now. Bengals, you can say, oh, it's only one game, but now you're on the verge of going 0-2 at Kansas City laying 6.
Yeah.
Those 3 or 4 games, anything jump out to you?
I think it's a great week for money line parlays. Teasers, you got to shop them. A lot of these lines are sitting at 6.5 right now, and people automatically go to like teasers thinking that's the better way to do it. But double check it against your money line parlays, because with Dallas at home, 6.5, New Orleans was a pleasant surprise, but I think that's more to do with just Carolina being completely inept. And so you know, Dallas at home paired with the Chiefs at home, that looks pretty solid. Looking again, I think, what was the other one I was peeking at? I know there was another 6. Oh yeah. Houston at home against Chicago, 6.5 is another one. Eagles at home, I think, is 5.5, 6. There's a lot of those that you can kind of pair together and find pretty good, you know, -110, -115 money line parlays if you find the right shop. But those would be my initial reads. I think that some of these lines, I'm tempted to go with. Without prep and really digging in, I would go for the home teams with those 6.5 point lines, do a couple money line parlays maybe early in the week before they get a chance to get beat into shape.
Matt, you're the best man. It was good to catch up and reconnect. Let everyone know where they can find you.
Yeah, I'm McAfee at Twitter. I'm in the Gold Boys Discord, and that's basically it.
All right, man. Good luck on Monday night. We'll hopefully do this again soon.
Yes, well, great to catch up.
All right, that'll do it. Thank you to Matt McAfee. We'll be back Wednesday. Rate, review, subscribe. I think we'll do some get back into some baseball here as these pennant races are heating up. We're not going to completely ignore baseball. But look, first weekend of football, NFL, college. It's a lot to do, honestly. A lot of content. I feel like, you know, sometimes in the summer you have to look for things to do. Now with football back, I feel like you can't cover all of it. There's so much going on. So fun time of the year. Excited to be back. Rate, review, subscribe. See you Wednesday.